Good morning. It's really great to be here. I always feel such a deep sense of peace when I come amongst all of you. So I just want to thank you for your faithfulness and for your love of God and your community. It's really powerful. Well, it's hard to believe that Embrace Sanctuary Australia was started 1 year ago. We're celebrating our first birthday. And it's been a big year. There's been a lot of steep learning curves for us. But over and over again, I'm so overwhelmed by seeing God at work in people's lives and in the communities and churches around us. And I want to thank this church in particular for your prayerfulness, for your faithfulness. And without this partnership and your particular support of me, none of this work could happen. As many of you will know, after Christmas last year, we ran a sanctuary family retreat. The purpose of the retreat was to bring people together, people who had been forcibly displaced from their homes, some up to 10 years ago. Some had only arrived a week before the retreat started. They were from a diverse range of countries and backgrounds and language groups. And it was an opportunity for their families to come together with local Christian communities and to have a week of being connected in community here. The purpose was for them to feel welcomed, to feel safe, to feel connected, and to have some sense of hope for their future here. So along with all of the usual camp activities like canoeing and sailing and rock climbing and sports, lots of craft, a crazy karaoke night, a women's dance night, we had this amazing opportunity to share meals together. And there's something so equalizing about the very human need to eat. It's a great leveler and something that didn't require language or shared experience. The mealtimes were definitely something to behold. In this passage from Luke that was beautifully read to us by Judy, Luke allows us a glimpse into a house of a prominent Pharisee who was hosting Jesus for a meal, along with a number of experts in the law. Did you know that Jesus eats more than he teaches throughout the Gospels? Yeah, it's a very human need. But during these interactions, Jesus announces the coming of God's kingdom, a new kingdom, and he does that not just through his teaching, but through his attitudes and through his actions. Let me just read again for you from Luke 14, just verses 7 to 11. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to the wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and they who humble themselves will be exalted. The first key teaching of this passage is a call for humility, a call for people to humble themselves, considering others as higher or better than themselves. The formal meal was always a public arena where one might display the social honour they possess or the social honour they aspired to possess. And at this meal, Jesus' words are a reversal of this common social practice. Jesus shames the host for inviting only those who can repay this favour of hospitality. And he goes on to share a symbolic meal that paints a picture of the kingdom of God. The second key teaching is expressed through this parable of the great banquet, where all of the important guests invited to the banquet are, for various reasons, unable to come. They were tied up with recent purchases, with commerce, with relationships, so that the master in the parable orders his servants, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town. Bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame." He wanted his house full for the banquet, saying that none of those who were invited and then declined the offer will get a taste of this banquet. The implication being that none of those invited could truly comprehend the specialness or the nature of the invitation that they were turning down, and that this rejection of this invitation would have much deeper consequences than they could know. The takeaway from this story is about inviting those that society considered to be the lowly, the outcasts, the marginalised, the not worthy, those who could never pay back such an invitation. So Jesus deliberately tips things on their head, like he likes to do. His inversion of these categories of who's on the inside, who's worthy, and who's on the outside and unworthy is a dramatic portrait of God's new kingdom. Humble yourselves and invite the lowly, or those the society thinks are the lowly. Theologian N.T. Wright describes it as the Lord of Lords is establishing a new kingdom, some of whose people may not have ever known the privileges of belonging in any human realm. Jesus was turning all the well-known customs and practices on their heads. He was introducing an upside-down kingdom. One of the most powerful things of the Sanctuary Family Retreat over summer was bringing together such a diverse group of people, not only from different languages and cultural groups, but people from every strata of society, those who had come seeking refuge and those who had lived here all their lives. People were sharing meals together who would never have normally crossed paths with one another. And what a deep honour and privilege it was to be together, to share and learn from each other, and to create community, even if just for that 1 week, where everyone belonged. At the heart of Jesus' message here is this concept of kinship. Kinship, being like next of kin, kinship is a concept that can be traced throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And at its core, it refers to solidarity and support. It's like family. In the Mediterranean world of the first century, blood ties were incredibly important. But it was also very important to draw the distinction between who was inside and who was outside this circle of trust and fellowship. There were concepts of honour and shame, purity and impurity, health and infirmity. They all played a part in determining who was in and who was out. But during the course of this meal, Jesus subverts the traditional and cultural understandings of kinship. He redefines kinship as a community that includes all of those that follow Jesus. Jesus redefines family. It's no accident that these teachings occur in the context of a meal. Well, more than one meal, actually. There's the physical meal that Jesus is attending in the Pharisee's home. But there's also the meal that Jesus centres his parable around. Meals encode or enact certain social structures. So it's significant that Jesus is subverting these traditional customs by challenging the social codes normally expressed in who sits where at the dinner table. But as much as Jesus is announcing God's kingdom and a new way of being in community, these inclusive kinship meals also recall the ancient call that we heard in the reading from Deuteronomy, where God's people were called to set aside their first fruits and their tithe for God to ensure that the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow would be fed. The powerless, the marginalized, the outcasts. Even back in Deuteronomy, God's heart is for those that can't repay the debt, for those that can't feed themselves. His heart is to care and to show welcome and grace for all. So Jesus is being, embodying, he's enacting what Israel, God's people, have always been called to do. What I love about this feast and the feeding of people is that repentance was never a requirement to join the meal. The meal was open to anyone that could be found in the streets and the alleys across the town. Jesus was often found with the wrong people, eating with the wrong crowd, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the outcasts, the sick. All of those people society thought to be too lowly, that's where Jesus hung out. And that's where he hosted these joyful meals. And his practice was always to humble himself and lift them up. Jesus overturns the expectations of his hearers, leading them to ask this important question: what kind of kinship does this feast in the kingdom of God entail? What does kinship look like in this new kingdom? In this new kingdom, Jesus rewrites the rules and the social customs. He was concerned that the interests of the guests would be the most important. They would be paramount. The feast would be shared without any expectation of the favor being returned. And I love this as an image of how we're to respond to refugees, as well as the poor and the sick and the lame. We're called to welcome and to love and to lift them up without any expectation of being paid back, humbling ourselves, exalting the poor. And it's in relationships of extravagant generosity and lavish love, without expecting anything in return. This is our call as God's people and as followers of Jesus. So the team that we had on our retreat over summer was made up of doctors, lawyers, teachers, ministry workers, faithful and deeply experienced Christians who were highly competent and capable. But each person on that team was stretched and challenged. They were out of their comfort zone in this particular context. This cross-cultural experience, as well as working in a trauma-informed way, was new for many. And a part of the humbling came with the understanding that it was not our job to come with the answers or the solutions. Rather, our place was to humble ourselves, to serve, to speak less, and to listen more, to center our guests and their experiences, to listen to their stories and to allow space for their perspectives and experiences, to learn from them. Oh, and what an incredible gift that was, however challenging it was to do. Along with this call to love and serve, expecting nothing in return, there is a wonderful mutuality that is found in this new upended kingdom. By his actions and words, Jesus disrupts the disparity in rank and status between servants and hosts and elite guests. Jesus serves and is served. He gives and he receives. He hosts, but often he's also a guest. There is a deep mutuality in Jesus' way with people, a mutuality that leads to friendship and to deep flourishing for everyone in the kingdom. There was a powerful turning point on our retreat where the inevitable frustrations that many felt at people doing things so differently, having different priorities, and the misunderstandings caused by language and cultural differences gave way to a humbling willingness to experience those differences. Participants from Iran and Afghanistan and Egypt, the women in particular, were dying to get into the kitchen and to cook for everybody. They wanted to share their food, their culture, their stories. Our team cook was incredibly gracious and surrendered the kitchen to different groups of women for every meal, who each day reveled in the opportunity to cook their favourite food and to offer us a feast like nothing we have ever seen before, experiencing cuisine and flavours that we had never tried. It was amazing. There has never been another camp like it. All of those teenagers on camp, they'll one day go to on a school camp and be so disappointed at the food. And in allowing ourselves to be served and to experience such generous hospitality, we all reached a deeper level of connection and joy. The food was incredible. And in those final days of our retreat, I saw more and more glimpses of this upside-down kingdom that Jesus has ushered in. One where we humbled ourselves, we invited those that society thought were lowly, and assumed a listening and learning posture, which blessed us incredibly and enabled our new friends to experience a deep sense of welcome and safety and connection. And they had such a glimpse of hope of what community could look like for them as they settled in this new strange land. So my challenge for all of us is to humble ourselves and seek out to share a meal with someone that you know cannot return the favour, or somebody who is very different from you. And I promise you that when you do that, you will be so blessed in so many ways. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you are a God of such incredible generosity, such lavish love. And from the beginnings in your Old Testament, you are calling your people to care for the poor and the outcast, the aliens in the land, the marginalized. That we are to give our first fruits to care for those. And Lord, we just thank you that you give us this rich opportunity to share and receive hospitality from others. And in that very simple act of eating together, God, that you build deep connections and community. Help us to be people who are willing to speak less and listen more. And we thank you that you bless us so richly. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.